reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. But the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." The wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went to the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterward, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul, in his first letter to Thessalonians, is extremely direct about some of the most essential things about the Christian life. And here he gets to the heart of it. He was being calumniated by people who had come into Thessalonica, and at the beginning, in a very magnanimous way, he was responding to his critics and helping them to focus on what was most important. And it comes to a crescendo here in the 4th chapter, where he's saying, he talked about loving with maternal tenderness, and then he talked about fatherly encouragement and exhortation, and that spiritual parenthood comes to a focus here, where he says, "We earnestly ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us how you should conduct yourselves to please God," which is the purpose of everything that we do, "you should now do so even more, for you know the instructions we gave to you through Christ Jesus." And then he laser beams it. This is the will of God for you. This is your vocation. This is why God made you. Your holiness, your sanctification. What is holiness? Second Vatican Council framed it very well in the context of religious life. What's the answer? Just opening up the category, not to really put you on the spot. Pardon me?
Union
with God? Yes, that's true. It's not the way they framed it in the Second Vatican Council, but it's true. Does anybody remember? I've already given you the hint and the focus on religious life. No, it's what does holiness mean? And the focus on religious life. You've listened very carefully, sister, to the opening prayer. We'll get to being conformed to Christ. Title of the document on religious life, the Second Vatican Council? Perfecte Caritatis, right? So it's being perfected in the charity of the Lord, both in the subjective and the objective genitive sense. Receiving God's love and then letting that love, that real divine charity in us, totally transform us. Holiness is the perfection of the twofold love. Receiving it and reciprocating it to God and to others. That's holiness. Why do I go through all of that? Because immediately after, St. Paul says, this is God's vocation for you, your holiness. He says something which is key for us to grasp and key for any of us who are called to the new evangelization full time in everything we do, need to share with others. Therefore, he says, it's an immediate connection. Avoid all porneia. Avoid, it's translated here as immorality. Immorality could be anything. It's talking about a particular form of immorality. Porneia, from where we get the word pornography. It's all sexual debauchery, all sexual sin. Now, why would he say that out of everything possible, that the thing that will short-circuit your holiness is lust? Because we've been formed to receive God's love and to love. And lust is what corrodes that love directly. Love is this capacity to give of ourselves unselfishly to others. Lust is when we become consumers of others. And lust isn't just sexual lust, there are other types of lust. The threefold concupiscence, it's lust for things, materialism. It's lust for power and domination over others. Not just fleshy stuff. But that is immediately what short circuits what God's will is for us. So, our living faithfully and almost with extraordinary light, our chastity becomes so key for the salvation of the world. Because the world thinks that we can get to heaven, and you have to become a saint to get to heaven, while giving in and indulging in all types of lustful behavior. That's why the worst false prophets today, I'm sorry, are guys like Father James Martin, who uses a celebrity. God has blessed this priest with so many gifts and communication, but he uses a celebrity basically to sprinkle holy water on sodomy and not call people to conversion and not explain why that type of behavior could end up bringing people to hell, because it's the exact opposite type of behavior that leads to heaven. Likewise, so many of the rest, we just don't talk in a persuasive way about the theology of the body to help people to know the yes that fills us with joy in comparison to the no that the world doesn't want to hear. For us in religious life and the priesthood, a lot of the times we live our chastity very poorly, which doesn't mean that we're necessarily committing sins of the flesh or sins of the heart with anybody else. But it does mean that we live like lifeless prunes or figs all dried up. That when people look at us, they don't see people who are bonfires of love, because we approach our chastity as fundamentally all that we're giving up, rather than recognize that our chastity, which is meant to help keep our eros, our passion for the good, the true, the beautiful, our attraction to others, to keep that attraction holy. Because without keeping our eros holy, it'll corrode our agape, it'll corrode our philia. And we're supposed to be bonfires of agape and philia. So that when people meet us, the first thing that they say is, I just can't believe that that sister, that that priest loves me that much. I actually think that that person would die for me. Die for me. Without even thinking twice. This is God's will for you. Your sanctification, your holiness. And the greatest poison to that is lust. It's porneia. It's the corruption. So the devil wants to get us really soft on lust. St. Paul specifies it in the context of marriage. Each of you know how to marry in holiness and honor, not lustful passion, as the Gentiles who don't know God do. You're supposed to reverence one another out of reverence for Christ. See God in each other. Don't take advantage or exploit of a brother or sister in this matter. Lust is always exploitative, and there's so much mutual utilitarianism, harmonious hedonisms in our culture. For God did not call us to porneia, is the word here, impurity, but to holiness. He did not call us to porneia. And this is something that all of us in the evangelization have got to be able to talk. He's called us to holiness precisely by giving us the Holy Spirit to crush porneia. I wish Sister Talitha was here. She would have just been startled at that very moment. Whoever disregards this, therefore, disregards not a human being, but God, who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. Whoever disregards this, whoever doesn't talk about it or doesn't live it, is actually disregarding God. Which is why millstones are being prepared for those who aren't preaching and living this, but in fact allowing people to deduce a false gospel. So, how do we live this well? Not just by our own strength, not just by receiving the Holy Spirit given to us, but now's your time, Sister Naomi, by conforming ourselves to Jesus Christ, as we prayed in the opening prayer, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that we might be clothed in the virtues, including the chastity, of the heart of the Son, so that being conformed to him, we may merit a share in eternal redemption, not just later, but now, through a truly redeemed heart, the redemption of the body that St. Paul talks about in his letter to the Romans, which is the real thrust of the theology of the body of St. John Paul II. In the responsorial psalm, tells us very clearly the Lord loves those who hate evil. We've got to hate sin. Hate it, because it's a poison, because it's a cancer in our relationship with the Lord. And what the devil wants most for us to do is to learn how to love sin, or at least not take it all that seriously. And one of his greatest successes is with regard to Sixth Commandment issues. So conforming ourselves to the heart of Christ, being clothed in his virtues of chastity, what is an expression of that? That's today's gospel. It's where we keep the oil of our lamps filled with love for God, where we open ourselves up to him, the great merchant of the oil, who gives us the Holy Spirit within, but we've got to keep the flame alive. That's part of the opening prayer too, a flame with the Lord's love. And this is something we can't borrow. You know, the prudent virgins were not being victimized by the selfish. Sorry, prudent virgins weren't selfish with regard to the imprudent virgins, bridesmaids. There are certain things that can't be borrowed. Can't be borrowed. In parish life, I used to love it when people would come after I'd been in a parish as pastor for 6 years and say, "Can I see the priest?" Because they had never seen me 6 years, but they wanted a sponsor certificate from me testifying to another priest that they're a really good Catholic, even though I've never seen him, and they don't even know that I'm the pastor of the parish after 6 years. Give these types of things. But my great uncle was a Monsignor. And you know, my response would be, "God bless you, great uncle." You know, I'm sure some of your extended family members try to milk in every ecclesiastical thing the fact that their second cousin 70 times removed is a sister of life. Great for your cousin. Certain things we can't borrow. We can't borrow our grandmother's or our godmother's faith. The Lord gives us all that oil, and we've got to be a good steward of it. And then we've got to care for that flame, keeping it burning, making sure the winds of the world don't blow it out, keeping ourselves close to the fire of others who really know how to love, because there is that strength. If we bring all of these individual wicks together, it can become a bonfire that not even Hurricane Harvey can blow out or drench. Being grateful for the Lord for the gift of that oil and asking ourselves candidly, are we still burning with it? Would somebody be able to say that I am aflame with love for God? Because that is the purpose of our life, God's will for us is to be perfecti and perfecte caritatis, made perfect by the Lord in love. I have come, the Lord could say, that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be brought complete, that my love might be in you, and my life might be in you. And all three are different angles of the same self-gift of the Lord who makes this type of love possible. The very end of this parable, there's something that it's important for us not to miss. Afterward, the other virgins came and said, Lord, open the door for us. Jesus came out and said, Amen, I say to you. You're not punctual. You missed the bell. You're late. Out. No, he didn't talk about their procrastination. Amen, I say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. This isn't just about a duty of an external act of keeping oil in your lamp so that you could be ready at any time. He didn't know, and the knowledge here is personal knowledge, not factual knowledge. Kenethra instead of savoir. Connoisseur instead of sapere. Connoisseur instead of sapere. I don't know you. Not because I don't want to know you, not because I didn't give myself to you, but you just didn't reciprocate that real loving friendship. Unfortunately, you didn't allow yourself to exist in a relationship with me. How sad that is. And the way we come to know the Lord is by receiving His love and loving Him back. And that love leads to greater knowledge, and the greater knowledge leads to greater love in a holy spiral that will lead us all to where in heaven all the wise virgins and all the saints and angels praise the Lord forever. That is God's will for us, that we will join them. He not only wants us to avoid all forms of porneia, but to live all holy forms of agape and philia, purified by the chastity that harnesses our eros toward this holy calling. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.